This is live from Studio A. I'm Christine Dean, and joining us today we have a duo called Unlin and Wolf, and they have recently released their first EP, Silver Lines. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Hey.
And it is Dexter Wolf and Siri Unlin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Getting that right. And Dexter, you've been here before in a band called Rivers, right?
Yes, yeah, that's correct.
Are you still playing with that band? Is that one still around?
Yeah, it is. The bassist right now is studying with a guy named Chris Wiseman out on the East Coast for a bit. So I don't like the H word, the hiatus. But we're taking a little break, and we're going to reconvene in probably a couple months here. So,
well, and you clearly have something else to focus on while that's happening.
Yeah,
so not a problem,
so.
Really. And you guys are playing tonight at the Red Star Lounge in Duluth. What time does that show start?
At 10 p.m.
All right. Well, let's get started with the song, and then we'll come back and find out. You guys have actually, you know, it's very rare that I would have a band that's only been together for a few months in the studio, but I listened to your stuff and thought, yeah, we're having them in the studio.
Aww,
so
thank you.
Let's hear a tune. What do you want to start with here?
We're going to start with a song called Moonrise.
Oh,
That is Unlin and Wolf live from Studio A, and a tune that was on their EP, Silver Lines, right?
Yeah.
And as I was listening to that, I was just thinking there's such an intimacy to what you guys do, just the sound of the guitars together and the, I don't know, just the, your lovely voice.
Thank you.
Just really, really beautiful. So tell me how you guys met in going to school together, is that right?
Yeah, we both went to Purpich Center for the Arts for high school.
Oh, so okay.
Way back.
Yeah. and what did you study there?
We both were in the music department, and mm-hmm. we kind of did our own thing, actually, in high school, but we stayed in touch, and we're always bouncing song ideas off each other. I think we found a really honest critic in each other. Like, we were wondering about something or uncertain about a part of a song, we knew that we could get an honest answer from each other. So eventually that kind of led to a collaboration project.
Okay. And yeah. It's fairly recent, just happened last fall, because you were gone for a bit, Siri, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me about your adventures. You were in the Arctic Circle studying storytelling through song. Tell us more about that.
I was lucky enough to get a grant through the Watson Foundation. So I was looking at traditional stories and songs, particularly the Celtic, Nordic, and Sami traditions. So I was looking at kind of how people get through dark winters in isolated places by connecting through those two forms of art.
So, mm-hmm. So what did you discover?
Oh, such a hard question. I wish I had come home with like a sentence answer to give people, but I think I honestly was more confused by my year out there. But it matters, stories and songs.
And how did you get through the darkness? And of course, there's light as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, it was definitely a year totally focused on music and storytelling in a way that was difficult because it was all listening. I wasn't really responding. So I think about halfway through the year when I was losing my mind, I was like, oh, I need to be singing and playing too. It can't be just listening. So that was kind of how I ended up getting through it, I think, was the call and response idea and honoring how important that is.
So you kind of did that on your own, or you shared that with other people, or?
Yeah, it was, I mean, it definitely started like by myself in like random stairwells where I could find alone time, but it morphed into like a tour and that kind of thing, so.
Oh, okay. A tour of the Arctic Circle?
Yeah, just like random, random bars, like reindeer outside. Yeah, it was once in a life. Hopefully not once in a lifetime. I'd love to go back up there. Reindeer's mm-hmm. really tasty. But
kind of another funny thing that I feel like Siri's told me about before is that she left Europe at the end of winter and then went to the South Pole and ended up in winter again.
Yeah, I didn't like really think through it. I just was like, I had worked so hard on this research and I'd been so cold for so long. And I was like, heck, I'm just going to buy a ticket to South America for this last month and just like really take care of myself. So I went to Argentina and it was winter. It was like such a blonde moment. So I was in winter all year and then, you know, went to the South Pole. But it was kind of nice to be at the North Pole and the South Pole all in one year. An interesting experience.
Yeah, I bet that would be interesting. And is the fact that you have a song called Snow on the EP any reflection of that year of winter?
Yeah, I actually wrote that song when I was in Iceland. I was woofing and I thought I was going to an organic farm, but it actually was a slaughterhouse.
Wait, you were woofing?
Woofing is the worldwide organization for organic farms. Mm. So you can go and volunteer on a farm and get free room and board. And I thought it was like a vegetable farm, but it was actually a slaughterhouse. So I ended up writing a lot of music to kind of combat the nightmares that happened. It was a great learning experience, but this really delicate snow song came out of it. So it's funny how that sort of juxtaposition can happen.
That's very interesting. Very interesting. Dexter, so tell us what you've been up to since you were last here. Did you do an album of your own, or that was with Rivers of Dusk, right?
Yeah. I put out the album with Rivers this mm-hmm. Last June, and we toured and we're playing shows pretty regularly for a while. and then Siri came back, and I moved to Minneapolis at the same time that she came back from her year spent mostly in Northern Europe and the Arctic Circle. And that's when we started playing together. I invited Siri to open up for Rivers on a tour that we did in September. And I started accompanying her on some of her songs. And that kind of turned into a full-fledged project, especially because Rivers was seeming to take a break. It seemed like that, like I said, the bassist Pat moved away for a while. He's in the middle of nowhere on the East Coast right now. I have no idea where he is. Somewhere in the woods.
Hopefully he turns up again soon. We like him.
Yeah. I'm trying to convince him to rejoin civilization and play music with us. And it sounds hopeful. And he might actually be playing with us. Kind of talking about that. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've basically been throwing myself into this when Rivers seemed like it wasn't going to be possible to do for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to keep doing music, and it was just really serendipitous how this all worked out. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And the songs are credited as the two of you. So how does your songwriting together work? Do you each bring your own thing and then you do the arrangements together, or do you collaborate on songwriting?
Yeah.
Every song is different.
Mm-hmm.
I think we usually bring a song to the table and then kind of see what happens with the arrangement. But I think one that we're going to play today, Catching Colors, was very much a collaboration. We started with a blank page and mm-hmm. just kind of messed around. And so.
Yeah, but every song is different. Like, I'd say we play more of Siri's songs than mine. But I get to play a lot of different roles in this project. I get to co-write and arrange, and I recorded our whole EP and mixed and quasi-mastered it and produced it and got a lot of other musicians involved and collaborating with us. And I really enjoy doing that, kind of fulfilling the role of a producer or something.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's also a reflection of our timeline, because I just tend to write like 10 crappy songs a day, and Dexter writes like one every 6 months. So because we've only been doing this for a short period of time, yeah. we tend to do the ones that I spit out quickly, but we'll see what maintains.
So you describe them as crappy songs. So how do you, but they must have some germ of something good in there. So is the process of kind of pulling out, or is she just being modest? Are they,
she's
are
being
they really
modest,
great songs?
No. But she does write some songs that I'm just like, all right,
nope.
There's no way I want to work on that. But no, I mean, like when she came back from her year doing all this research on, storytelling and song, she had, like, you had, what, like 15 notebooks filled up with a lot of songs and other meanderings, but she played me probably, like, 15 songs one night. Just, like, first 15 that came to her head. And then
I spent
we kinda,
a lot of time alone last year.
and then, you know, we just kind of started to sort through these songs and figure out which ones were the strongest and cohered and... And I was in a really different place songwriting at the time, too. I tend to think really, like, theoretically and about, like, strange structures and stuff, typically. But I was in more of, like, a traditional songwriting mode because of a lot of different transitions that were going on in my life, and that felt really honest. And so I think the way that we started playing together was just, it just made sense. It made sense. I felt like we're really on the same page
mm-hmm.
as to where we were at, both as writers at the time. So,
I'm curious, Siri, lyrically or just songwriting in general, how did that year of hearing other people's stories, how did that affect how you tell your story? Did that have an effect, do you think?
Oh, I think definitely observation is so enlightening. I think I wish that I had been doing it longer. I had the luxury of this year of research to be really intentional about it, but it's amazing the things you can pick up when you see someone playing a song or telling a story, like, oh, that was effective and that wasn't. And you can, if you're, intentional and taking notes and paying really close attention, I think that can be really helpful as someone at the beginning of their career,
and,
hopefully.
And this wasn't your first experience doing this. This kind of came out of other work that you'd done.
Yeah, this is totally like different part of the world, but I had done some folklore collecting in Tanzania with the Maasai tribe, which was really awesome, and was really based on this trading culture where I'll tell you a story if you tell me one. So that I think really opened up, you know, my, or just it got me like less nervous about sharing things, even if they weren't perfect. It was just a kind of a tick for tack kind of thing, and like anything was game. So, yeah, it was really cool.
Well, let's hear another song. What do you want to do next?
Next, we're going to play a tune called Catching Colors. This is the one that we just mentioned. That is the first tune that we really fully collaborated on together. So, all right.
Caught the colors changing in Wisconsin. We're all turning now but hold leaves while we've got them. I'm a passenger while you drive fast. Weaving interstates as days go past. We're in the space between and it ain't gonna last. Colors changing in Wisconsin, and the gentle raindrops on my fingertips. Try to swallow my pride, but the words go to, and I've got more than silence to say to you. There's a rush in the air like time on fire.
That's Undlin and Wolf live from Studio A, another one from their Silver Lines EP. And you guys are working on an album now for release later this year, is that right?
Yep, yeah. That's correct. Yeah.
So did you just have a lot of leftover? How did you decide to put out the EP and just the four songs?
Actually, that's a really good question. I've never been asked. Basically what happened was we had a ton of songs, probably over 20, which now we've kind of trimmed back. But we picked, at first we were thinking that we'd just work on an album for a while and then put it out. But we were starting to play a lot of shows, and we had these four tunes in particular that ended up being on the EP. And we realized that we're both... the way that we write songs has a lot to do with the time of year. And so we kind of figured out that each of these four songs represented a different season for us. Like, it was written for the most part in the season that it represents. But at least, like, when either of us played these songs, it felt like, you know, summer, spring, fall, winter. And so that's kind of how it came together. We wanted to do something practical. I think that's kind of at least how I wanted to approach this project in general. The stuff that I've done with Rivers is just, it's really orchestrated. There's a lot more going on. And because of that, it becomes harder and harder to do justice to in a live performance and to replicate the experience of listening to the recorded music. And all of our songs, we kind of went into it thinking like, okay, can we play these just you and I, and communicate them in an effective way to people? Are these going to do things to people? Are these going to make people feel things and do justice to what the song is? So that's kind of how the EP came together.
Hmm. That's really interesting. Yeah. So, and is the fact that you mentioned that, you know, you're influenced by the season that you're in when you're writing a song, is that something you can put your finger on, like what that influence is, or is it just like a feeling that you have?
Yeah, like, it's I don't know. It might be kind of like an ineffable feeling. Yeah, I don't know if I could say that it's any one thing. There are a lot of other things obviously that go into writing a song. It's not just the season, that last tune to me, I don't know, you know, for anyone listening, if that felt like autumn, but to me, it, like, when I hear that, it feels like a fall song to me. That's how I listen to music too a lot. I go through phases. Like, right now I'm just starting to listen to Field Report, which was on earlier. But like 2 months ago when they put out their first single, I wasn't in the mood. Honestly, like, I was like, no, this isn't what I want to hear right now.
It's a spring sort of thing.
And now it's warming to me.
That's really interesting.
Yeah,
so. I just think it's, you know, I think everybody has a different experience of music. And I think it's kind of fun to hear
totally.
What people, and yeah. Things you don't normally think about. So for the new album, I bet you had a bunch of songs from the last, you know, when you were thinking about the EP left over, right? Maybe some new ones too?
Yeah. You want to go ahead?
Yeah, it's been fun because, I mean, we have to play more than four songs when we're playing shows. So a lot of the songs that we're recording on this next album, we've had the luxury of working through them while playing live, and I think they've developed a lot over the last 3 months. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, while the songs that we put on the EP are great and we love them so much, I'm really excited for these next ones because they've had so much more time to kind of bloom into, I think, their full potential, or at least on their way to that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And are you working on the recording and producing this time too?
We're getting some help from a friend of mine, the same guy who helped with a lot of the Rivers stuff that I did, a friend named Leo Stry, who I trust a lot. He's got a good heart and a good ear, and that's pretty much what you need in a recording technician. So, yeah.
You're still in the process of recording that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We did a lot of preliminary recording during the same time that we were recording these songs. And since then, we've barely been doing anything. And just now we're starting to really get into it again. And throughout April is that we want to have everything finished up, hopefully by the end of April. It's not always how it works out, but,
Both set aside a lot of time for the month of April and make sure we can make it a top priority.
Well, we have time for one more song. What do you guys want to finish up with?
We're going to do a tune that will be on our first full-length album. It's not on the EP. It's called Time Is On My Mind.
Leave these letters of my life in their small print, say goodbye. love you dearly, mother, sons, husband, daughter, sister, brothers all. Time is on my mind, time is on my mind, sneak and speed on by, oh, time is on my mind, where have you gone, dear mom, time is on my mind. Don't you fret, hold you in my breast, my chest, breathe my loved ones, don't asphyxiate, let me go now as I become a wave. Time is on my mind, time is on my mind, sneak and speed on by, oh, time is on my mind, where have you gone, dear mom, time is on my mind.
Unlin and Wolf live from Studio A, and a song that will be on their forthcoming new album. Well, thank you so much, guys. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Christine. That was really fun.
Thanks for having us.
And we were talking earlier, Dexter, about it's a little ironic because your Rivers album was produced by S. Carey of Bon Iver, and he's actually in town tonight.
Yeah.
Total coincidence.
Yeah, I hope to bump into him.
But his show is before, that's at Sacred Heart, that's well before your show, yep. So people can catch both.
Yeah, come to both. Yeah.
Such a great night. And your show, again, is happening at the Red Star Lounge. Mm-hmm. Toby Thomas Churchill is also playing, mm-hmm. and it starts at 10, and you guys just said you're on at 11, right?
Yep. 11?
All right. Well, thank you so much. It was wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Mike Nowitzki and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.